Today on Real Radio.
Well, who is this guy Simon? We know from church history that his name was actually Simon Magus, M-A-G-U-S, or literally Simon the Magician, or Simon the Magi. And it's recorded that he was the first apostate believer. That is a guy who came forward at a crusade and then went back, and not only went back to the world, but became heavily against the work of Jesus Christ, against the church. And he's right here in Scripture. We come across him in our study of the church.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. Verses 9 through 24 of chapter 8 tell the story of a man called Simon. Simon the sorcerer, he is sometimes referred to, because he was involved in the occult and bewitching people in Samaria. In fact, they thought his sorcery was the power of God himself. It's a scriptural example of old, of the very mentality we see everywhere today. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
You're going to want to jot down the title of the message, and that is God the Baptist. And you might be thinking, I thought God was a non-denominationalist. And I don't mean it in that sense. God, when it's all said and done, when you read the end of the book that's in your lap, the book of Revelation, you'll find out that God wins. And in the end, every person that's ever been born into earth in some way, shape, or form will experience a baptism. You may be thinking right now in your mind, well, yeah, I was baptized, you know, when I was a baby, or I was baptized down at the beach last week, or whatever. Well, and that's not exactly, although that's part of, the baptism we're talking about. We're talking that God has, if you might allow me to say this, has a universal baptism that everyone will be baptized in due time. If you are a believer this morning, trusting in Jesus Christ, that you've come to him as a sinner saved by Jesus, his grace, his love, his forgiveness, which was shed upon the cross for us, then you have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. That's how you become a Christian. That's how the Holy Spirit comes inside you. And then there's the baptism of water that the Bible tells us that we should do once we come to Jesus Christ, that we should be baptized in water. And for some here this morning that might think that you have to be baptized to go to heaven, you need to look at the life of the thief on the cross who was never baptized, yet went into heaven. And we're going to see this morning in the life of Simon that he was baptized and yet never made it into heaven. He was in the church. He was very famous, very well known, and yet he never made it into the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus warned us in Matthew chapter 7. He said, many will come to me in the day of judgment and say, Lord, Lord, haven't we cast out demons? Haven't we done great miracles in your name? Haven't we done wonderful works? And Jesus in Matthew 7:21 says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I come with a message that is not popular. And if you're visiting for the first time, we welcome you, and it's not always going to be like it is today. But I don't apologize for it, because Jesus loves you and I so much that Jesus spoke against hell and of hell more than any other New Testament or Old Testament teacher. Jesus, interestingly enough, spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he doesn't want you to go there. You might say, well, I don't believe in that place. There's a lot of people. I saw a recent poll in U.S. News and World Report that said that 87% of the Christians in America believe that they are Christians and that God is real and that there's an end to come. But 63% said they didn't believe in a hell. Yet Jesus, the one that they confessed to believe in, taught about hell. And you might be saying, I don't want to hear this. Man, I got up, I got dressed to come and hear about hell. Well, you are extremely privileged this morning, I hope to tell you. Because I have searched tape catalogs and church inventories on tapes on hell, and I can't find any. A tape on hell? What for? Well, you know, I want to just kind of get some feel about how pastors deliver messages on hell, to be honest with you. Well, hang on. Runs it through the computer. We don't have any tapes labeled even remotely that kind of get us over to the hell thing. And I look through catalogs and nothing, man. So we're going to hear about hell kind of this morning. We're not going to talk about the attributes of it, but how to get there. I had a guy tell me on the streets recently, I don't want to go to heaven. A couple of my friends have died, and they're total drug addicts and reprobates, and they're in hell, I'm sure, and I want to join them in hell and have a party. And I said, my dear friend, you're not going to be partying in hell. The Bible says it's a place where, and I hate this feeling. I love to fly airplanes, but I hate this feeling of forever falling. You know that falling feeling? The Bible says that there's a forever falling feeling, a bottomless pit where there's fire and flames, but no light. And a place where the worm that gnaws upon your flesh does not die. And why does the Bible say that? So you don't go there. What does Satan say to you and I? Don't believe in hell. It's okay. I'm not here. You don't believe in me. And you listen to the cults, and isn't it interesting that every cult, I'll say it again, every cult does not believe in hell. Every one of them have this in common. They deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They say that you can atone for your own sin nature. Well, isn't that convenient? And they don't believe in hell. You ever hear the Mormon Tabernacle Choir? One of the greatest sounds in the earth. I've been in that, the tabernacle. Awesome. And as beautiful as they can sing, they don't believe in hell. They believe that Jesus and Lucifer are brothers. And yet Jesus spoke and pleaded with people. But there's an end coming to our lives. The letter I got this week from Parowan, Utah, is a beautiful woman who gets our tapes each week, and that's her lifeline. She studies the Bible with us on tape, and she lives there, and her whole community is Mormon. And she was sharing with this one woman how she needs to come to Jesus Christ, or else what awaits her is a fiery hell. And that woman said, look, there's 8 million Mormons who are sincere, and no way would God send them to hell. There's no way. And I agree with that Mormon woman. God doesn't send anybody to hell. We choose that path ourselves. Amen. We reject the love of Jesus Christ. We say, I don't need him. I'm pretty good. I'll work it out my own way. And we deceive ourselves, and we wind up dying not knowing Jesus Christ. And Jesus said that place is a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Look that up in the Greek language, which he spoke in, and it means to grind your teeth to the point of breaking your teeth off with pain. And Billy Sunday, the ex-professional baseball player and evangelist of the turn of the century, was preaching warnings on hell in a great crusade that he was having on the east coast of the United States, and a woman jumped up in the midst of the rally and said, I don't believe in hell, Billy Sunday. Stop talking about it. I'm sick of hearing about it. I've heard enough, and I don't believe in it. And besides, you said that it's a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and I don't believe that that will ever be because I don't have any teeth, Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday said, ma'am, for you, teeth will be provided. Satan doesn't want us to believe that there's an end. Satan comes, the Bible says, Peter tells us, as a lion roaming around seeking whom he may devour. And if that doesn't work, he'll slip on the garments of a serpent in the garden. And if that doesn't work, he puts on his best clothing, and that is that of a robe in a pulpit. as a preacher to lead people astray. This weekend, I had an awesome time. My wife and I, we spent some private time with David and Carol Hocking, and let me tell you, my eyes are wide open to the subtleties of Satan and his trickery. And you need to wake up this morning as we get into the study, and I do believe we'll get into it today before we run out of time. There is an enemy out there of your soul that is absolutely diametrically opposed to the love of God. And his goal is to afflict pain in the heart of God. And how, you might ask, is he going to do that? By stealing your life. Because God loves you so much that Satan can rip you off. And his ultimate joy is that he's twisted that knife in the heart of God. Because he's got your soul. And you might say, well, why doesn't God do something about it? Well, what more do you want him to do? He only hung on a cross and died for you and was beat to death, spit on, shredded. But no fear, rose from the dead 3 days later for you. Amen. And he has given you that choice. We're in this beautiful valley of the Sinawa Indians in Utah, and we met three guys from England. And the group of us, we began to share the Lord with these guys. And they said, I don't want anything to do with that stuff. First of all, it's intellectually bogus. So we began to talk to them concerning God scientifically. And they were blown away. And then this one guy said, hey, you know, I've never heard it like this. And all he knew as he began to tell us about his exposure was all religion in Europe. Just dead, lifeless religion and no Bible. And he began to hear the truth. And we talked about the tapes. And he says, oh, I'd like to have some of those tapes. So we're going to be mailing him tapes in England. Because he had never heard the truth before. He had seen religion. And Satan loves to give people religion rather than the relationship that is promised in Jesus Christ. We're going to look at the church in verses 9 to 13 of Acts chapter 8. And mark it down in your notes. We see even within the church the baptism of a false believer. Isn't that sad? In a group this size, statistically, you know, I heard a terrible statistic by Secretary Sullivan from the Center of Disease and Control in Atlanta. This is a government issue report. In America, they say, in black and white print, there is one out of 250 Americans now infected with AIDS. One in 250. Statistically, they said there is out of every 100 men, one man's got AIDS in America. And the human race is infected with the SIN virus, sin. And it comes into the church. Look at verse 9. It says in verse 9, but... You got to circle that but right at the start of the verse. What does it mean? It's referring back to verse 8 of Acts chapter 8. We saw last time together that there was great joy in that city as the gospel went out. Everybody was praising the Lord and coming to know Jesus and being saved, liberated from their past, and given power, freedom. But verse 9 says there was a man called Simon. That word but in Greek means that he's in opposition to verse 8. He's against it. He's against the joy and the freedom that people were experiencing. Well, who is this guy Simon? We know from church history that his name was actually Simon Magus, M-A-G-U-S, or literally Simon the Magician, or Simon the Magi. And it's recorded that he was the first apostate believer. That is a guy who came forward at a crusade and then went back, and not only went back to the world, but became heavily against the work of Jesus Christ, against the church. And he's right here in Scripture. We come across him in our study of the church. Also this, that he was the first one to receive the title that he was an Antichrist, according to church history. That's written in 160 AD by Justin Martyr. Also, he was known to be responsible for popularizing the cult of Gnosticism. That is the denial of the deity of Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? Simon was also responsible for perverting church doctrine in Rome. It's also understood that he was revered by the people of Samaria as a god and that he promoted it. Look at it with me. Verse 9 says, "But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great." And by the way, that's self-proclamation. He said so. "To whom they all gave heed," verse 10, "from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is the great power of God.'" He's a counterfeit, doing it by demonic power. "And they heeded him because he had astonished," that's mesmerized, amazed, held bondage the people with his sorceries for a long time. Verse 12, "but," and I love that, "but" in verse 12, because it's in opposition to the "but" in verse 9. There's a lot of "buts" in there. "But when they," that is the people of Samaria, "believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." Hey, they were being liberated from this trickery. Look at verse 13. Isn't this convenient? "Then Simon himself also believed." Of course, he's losing money. He's losing fame. He's losing attention. "And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and the signs which were done." Did he come to Christ based on the word of God? Did he come to Christ based on the message Philip was preaching? No. He came to Christ based upon the miracles. People are running after miracles today. "Oh man, wasn't that a great service? I had goosebumps like almost all the way through the service." Well, that's nice. But was Jesus glorified? Was the word of God proclaimed? Were people converted? Don't go by feelings. Jesus warned us in the last days that many false prophets will come and they will do great miracles that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived by them. We need to be careful. Simon practiced great magical arts under demonic power, and there's a great contrast. He was baptized right into the church. If you've been baptized, will you go to heaven? Absolutely not. Baptism cannot save you. Baptism is only a very wet experience that tells everybody around town that you have accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life. And if you think that you have to be baptized to get to heaven, then you need to study the Gospels and see the thief on the cross who was never baptized and yet went to heaven. Should you be baptized? Yes, only if you're born again. That's why most churches don't practice infant baptism, because you have to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Remission of your sins means that you have the ability to stand up and say, "I'm not going to be a sinner anymore. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. I'm going to walk after him." And I don't mean live a perfect life. I mean come to him by faith. And you turn from your past. And that's why infants can't do that. It has to be a logical decision. They have to be remissing of their sins. The moment you have that in your heart, then you say, "Yes, you know, I want to follow the Lord into the waters of baptism by obedience because I've given my heart to Christ." Simon was baptized, but he never made it to heaven, and we'll prove this in a moment. The baptism of a false believer. He was enamored with the signs and the wonders. By the way, in verse 12, the word "believed," when they believed, Philip, the people believed the message. The word in the Greek means that they clung to the message. They trusted in Christ. And by the way, listen up, everyone. It's the same word that applies to Simon. Same Greek word. He believed the same type of commitment. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? The Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 19, that the devils believe in God and they tremble at the thought. Jesus said in John chapter 6, "These people believe in me because they were hungry and they were fed." That's why they're following me, because they're hungry. A lot of people look at Jesus like he's an add-on. "Man, I got a nice house now. I got a promotion. Got a company car. Got that Beamer, you know, and or whatever, Lexus, Benz. I don't know what the deal is. For me, I guess it'd be a Suburban." Got a Suburban now. Can run over cars that stop in front of me. Making a lot of money. I'm doing really good. And, you know, things are going so well. My kids are growing up. I want them to have like a moral influence in their lives because I'm not a total heathen. And so we're going to start going to church because it's the good thing to do. Be careful, Simon. Hey, he said, look at those signs and wonders. Hey, also, look at all the people I'm losing. Can I be baptized? I believe. And he goes into the waters of baptism, comes up and follows Philip, and he's going, man, how do you do those miracles? He saw God as an add-on. He looked at the power of God rather than the person of God. And how many people follow Jesus Christ to see what they can get? I think I'll become a Christian. It's, you know, there's a lot of stuff on TV about I can get rich. I was watching that this morning. We were in Newport Beach this morning and coming up this way from the retreat. And I turned this guy on. I'm not going to mention his name because you know his name. And this TV screen came on. And his name is bigger than his body on the, that's your first clue. And he's talking about my ministry, oh, and I'm here, I'm going. And it's like, I. And it's like, oh, brother. And I was so upset with this guy. I'm putting my shoes on wrong. I got the right foot on the left on the right. And I'm just thinking, oh, God. What about the precious people who are sick who love you? And this guy's saying, if you had enough faith, you wouldn't be sick. And you'd be happy. I don't read anything about Jeremiah being happy in the dungeon, and he was right in the middle of the will of God. Right on. I don't see anything about Paul being happy in the Mamertine prison, which they flooded with sewage from Rome daily. That's where he lived. And he loved God, and he said, nothing is able to separate me from the love of God. Can you say that with sewage flowing by your feet? Paul did.
Wow, challenging question. Certainly a sign of spiritual maturity. Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, leading us through an examination of verses 9 through 24 of Acts chapter 8. It's the account of Simon the sorcerer, and how he sought out the power of God, the Holy Spirit, but for all the wrong reasons. We'll continue with more of this presentation on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. We invite you to visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. One reason is that right under the banner that reads Special Offer, you'll learn about the 2-CD set we're offering. It's called When a Christian Prays. Pastor Jack lays out the correct biblical view of this privilege of being able to communicate with our Almighty Maker. Whatever questions you've ever had on prayer, they'll likely be answered in this solid treatment of the topic. Now, here's our offer. We'll send you Pastor Jack's 2-CD set called When a Christian Prays when you make a tax-deductible contribution of any amount to Real Radio. You can read more about it when you visit us at realradioactive.org. It's right there on the front page under the banner Special Offer. Again, this 2-CD set of Pastor Jack's teaching, When a Christian Prays, is yours for a gift of any amount in support of Real Radio. Now, you can order online, realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or get in touch by telephone, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.